Temperatures in St. Louis tonight for baseball will be in the 70s. No rain in the forecast. That is Fan Weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. But we're talking Steelers. This is a little bit of the calm before the storm, or who knows, in the next 2 hours while we're still on the air, we could hear about cuts. We could hear about trades. All of these moves are trickling in. It's not all of tomorrow at 1 when you officially have to get down to 53 men. Some of this is trickling in. The Eagles made 3 trades yesterday as an example of that. We're seeing some teams release gaggles of players today. So
gaggles.
At any point, the Steelers could do that. We also get the rumor mongering that goes on here with potential guys getting cut or guys that are just unhappy with their current situation. One of those loose ends got tied up this morning when Terry McLaurin signed a 3-year extension with the Bengals. Now we've got Raiders receiver Jacoby Myers, and they have no receivers to speak of. He is their best receiver based on resume. I mean,
they have Trey Tucker and 2 rookies next to him.
Yeah, they've not really. You think the Steelers wide receiver situation is bad? Go look at the Raiders depth chart. He has requested a trade in the last half hour or so. I do not have all the details on his contract. I do see from Diana Rossini that when news of this broke out of Vegas today that Myers wanted a new deal, NFL Network was the first one on it. And by the way, his contract looks like this. Final year of his deal is this season. He's making $10.5 million. So he wants a big raise. He wants probably somewhere in the low 20s, I would think.
Yep.
He'd want double the salary. Rossini, in a response to this report, said the Raiders, Steelers, Vikings, and Jets are scouring for wide receivers. So the Raiders want more wide receivers.
And their best one doesn't want to be there.
Out. Steelers, Vikings, and Jets are the other teams who are, in theory, interested here. So I'll tell you what. Every time I've seen Jacoby Myers play against the Steelers, he looks good. He's not a huge playmaker as far as, you know, having, you know, blow you away speed. He's not someone that when he gets off the bus like DK Metcalf, you're amazed by like how big he is and how he moves at that size.
Quality professional football player, though.
I wouldn't even say that he's like someone that I think of as like a great route runner or anything like that. But here are 2 things about him. This is from NFL writer Chris Trapasso in the last 20 minutes that I did not know about Jacoby Myers. Among wide receivers in the last 6 years, he is 3rd in contested catch win rate. So when he's not really that open and he gets thrown the ball, he catches it more than 50% of the time. The only 2 wide receivers in the league over that span who've been better are Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. Here's the other thing to really like about this guy. Pro Football Reference says his career drop rate,
I knew you were going to say
this, is 2.8%.
Yep. He dropped 1 ball last year. They've charted this his whole career, 6 seasons.
With
6 fewer drops in 6 seasons than Romeo Doubs has in 3.
With guys that have been targeted at least 500 times, the only wide right now in the NFL who have a lower drop rate than him are Justin Jefferson and DeAndre Hopkins. So this is a very underrated wide receiver, in my opinion.
He's a sure-handed player, and he is a built-in-a-lab good wide receiver, too. He's not a 1. I don't think anybody would confuse him.
And he was undrafted, Malzi.
Oh, we know that everyone likes a good undrafted player here. From Arabia Mountain, Georgia High School. Never heard of it. Jacoby Myers from?
You're asking me where he went to college? I'm cheating because I have everything pulled
Jack,
up on him in front of me. So
Jack,
really
you're a psycho here. Jack is a psycho.
Ask about this.
I'm just wondering if you know where a very quality wide receiver too, like Jacoby Myers, who was not drafted, overlooked despite being 6'2", 190, where he might have gone to school.
I think this is wrong, but for some reason, Arizona State. No. Yeah, Arizona State is coming to mind.
You've got the state part right. It's North Carolina State. He was a member of the Wolfpack, not the NWO. He wants $20 million. I think you spitballed that was the number. 87 catches, 1,027 yards, and 4 touchdowns. I mean, if you put him on the Steelers, that is an instant and significant upgrade at wide receiver 2. But then again, wouldn't it make sense if you're the Raiders and you're not paying, well...
You are paying. You are paying. Yeah, Geno Smith, you are paying. Extension.
I was just about to say you're not, and then I went, no. They paid Geno Smith. They're paying Max Crosby.
It's 87 catches last year, career high, over 1,000 yards.
Here's the weird thing for them. Their best receiver is Brock Bowers.
Yep.
Who's a tight end who we've seen Jimmy Graham and others try this, get paid like a wide receiver because they think they're more wide receiver than they are tight end, but it doesn't really work. Are they going to want to give Jacoby Myers a big raise and a new contract when they think their passing game for the next decade is going to revolve around Brock
Bowers?
And
they just drafted Ashton Jenny in the first round, too.
Right.
So they think those two guys are going to be the focal points of their offense. But they need guys to line up outside and catch the ball, and he's far and away their best one. And the other thing that I think I would say you might think sounds ridiculous, but remember who they're owned by. Okay, it's Mark Davis who drives a minivan and will eat at P.F. Chang's every day, wears a fanny pack, and gets the Lloyd Christmas bowl cut twice a month. Yes, the Steelers have made trades with the Raiders. They sent Martavis Bryant there. They sent Antonio Brown there. But I think in those situations, he's like, wow, we're getting really good players from the Steelers, and all we're giving up is draft picks?
Great,
let's do these trades.
And then they, like one of those Looney Tunes care packages, the box explodes in his hands.
Given the fact that the Raiders, in their minds, think that the Steelers are one of their ancient rivals and one of their hated teams, I just can't picture, unless the deal is insanely good, I can't see them trading their only good wide receiver to the Steelers right before the season starts for only a draft pick. It's almost like they'd have to give them something of use, like a player in this deal, almost like the Jalen Ramsey for Minka deal. They'd have to give them something else to make them feel like they weren't taking a step back on this season to trade a disgruntled player.
But the one thing they would need is the position that the player already plays.
Right.
Well, this is the other thing. Jack Beck, their second round pick, the wide receiver from LSU and then TCU, he's been dinged up, Pony, which complicates this. If he had like this phenomenal camp and been healthy, I think there would be more impetus on the Raiders' part to feel like they at least have two receivers of some validity.
The kid from Tennessee has Dante had a Thornton. Monster preseason.
He's still,
for them.
But he's still a rookie.
Oh, I know.
So the point is, still a rookie. He was their fourth round pick. Beck has just not had the health that they would want. I think Myers has correctly read the room here as far as like having the leverage to say I'm disgruntled, because only one of the two rookies has been awesome, and he is the lesser pedigreed one of the two that they drafted. And so I do think he's probably got some grounds to try to turn the screws a little bit on them.
If Terry McLaurin's a $32 million receiver, this guy's making 10 and a half.
He's a 20.
He's probably a 20 guy,
I think. You were right. What did T. Higgins just sign for? 18 annually or something? Wasn't that T. Higgins' most recent deal?
No, it's more than that.
Hold on.
I think it's like $28 million.
I got to look it up because I think you're right. I think I said 18 when it's 28. I think you're 24.
Eight,
24 is the cap hit this year.
18 is what
Deontay Johnson got. You got it. It's 4 years. It's actually more like 29 or 28 and a half. If T. Higgins is 28 and McLaurin's a little better than Higgins and he's 32.
I mean, what would you have to give the Raiders as far as players go?
What do you have that they want? Wide receivers? Nope. That's the whole point of this is the guy is, I mean, they need more of him and they don't have him and he wants out. I don't know what you could give them. You're not giving them a running back that you think they might like because they just drafted Genty. Are you giving them an offensive, like you're not trading out of the trenches?
They just traded for that defensive tackle from Philly in the Bennett deal, so they found their like Christian
Wilkins. I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I have like a great feel for the Raiders offensive line situation. Do you feel like you have somebody at linebacker that they would want? The guy whose name I always throw in on these is just Nick Herbig. Just generally, hey, you want Nick Herbig?
But they play a 4-3.
No,
he's not
going to
play with his hand in the ground. Exactly.
No, he's too small.
And they brought a Landon Roberts, and they've got Devin White, so they've got their inside
Devin
linebackers.
White stinks.
Yeah, I know, but they'll probably think they can fix him just like everybody else does.
I mean, you have to fix him from just not being good. I mean, what's your Jack? Do you put a Jack Sawyer in there and just go completely insane and say, you know what?
I don't think they do that.
He's gotten blocked too often this preseason.
They're not going to trade a 1,000-yard receiver for Jack Sawyer.
He's a
fourth-round pick.
I'm just spitballing here, man. Well, they should dangle Will Howard. My God, that would get the deal done. That's too lopsided in the Raiders' favor, of course.
They drafted a quarterback, I think, before Will Howard. Cam Miller in the sixth round or thereabouts. So I don't know. I mean, I don't think if you just said, we'll give you a fourth-round pick for this guy, they would jump at it because they're not tanking this year. They brought Geno Smith, and he's 35 years old, and Pete Carroll, who's almost 80, to win right now.
Don't you think that
it's not a long-term plan there. It's win this very second
for
them.
With that in mind, don't you think the end game here is actually that Jakobi Meyers probably gets what he wants?
Yes, I do.
I mean,
the same way McLaurin did, the same way.
I'll be honest, man. I give Myers his
Trey
agent.
Trey Hendrickson probably will, and the same way Micah Parsons
I'm
probably
give,
will.
I'm going to give his agent some credit here. He timed this perfectly. They're a week and a half out. Like, they're not getting Jack Beck ready to go that quick.
You'd have to make them an offer where the Raiders looked at it like, damn, this does not help us this year.
But it's so good of an offer.
The pick is so good, we can't say no to it. So what's... a second rounder would do that, I think. I don't think a third would. And I wouldn't trade the same pick to Vegas that I traded to Seattle for Metcalf. You still need a quarterback. You can't trade a second round pick for somebody like this. You would need them to take stupid pills and like accept the fourth round pick
Mark
or something
Davis,
like that.
Mark Davis, Prince Valiant. He's going to get a deal, I think. At the end of the, I obviously like playing out these scenarios as much as anybody that likes to play armchair GM and kind of, you know, throw it at the wall and see if it sticks, but I think he's going to get paid.
By the way, has anyone contacted Kabali? His favorite Steeler just got cut.
Uh-oh.
Ben Sauls.
We're sending our love Ben Sauls' way. Is there a team that's had a kicker really suck this preseason where he could latch on?
I haven't tracked it. I know the guy for Baltimore who's replacing Tucker got red hot and made a 61-yarder this weekend.
I think there's been a 70, a 64, a 63, and now a 61-yarder.
Well, the Dolphins kicker is out for 5 weeks, so maybe that's
you know there's been a complete dearth of left-footed kickers. Like, that's gone extinct.
Really?
Yeah, like, remember how we had David Akers, you'd have old Morton Anderson? There's been a serious lack of left-footed kickers, I believe, coming into the league lately.
Hendon Hooker has been released by the Lions.
Hooker?
I once...
Barely know.
Remember I once said that could be the Steelers' answer at quarterback? That was a...
I kind of let you...
Yeah,
by
me.
You fire so many of them off that occasionally we even let you slide on them.
What was Kabali's take on Sauls, Donnie, that there wouldn't be a big drop-off from Boswell to Sauls? Wasn't that the whole...
Believe his fundamental, his thesis point was there wouldn't be a big drop off from probably the best or second best kicker in all of football to a guy who's never kicked in an NFL game that counts. Yeah.
Yes, something and the guy who is currently employed by a former college kicker turned NFL punter said it was very unfootball-like of me to suggest that a Steelers kicker is a useful part of the roster.
Why didn't McAfee ever try to go into business and say, pay me what you would pay a punter and a kicker, and I'll do both?
Because I don't think he was good enough to kick in the NFL, as evidenced by 13-9. Sorry, Pat. 4:15. Time to make the call to the Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums, 724-443-5610. Donnie Football's biggest topic, the Donnie Football Debrief, is about 15 minutes away. Let's go back to the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. That's where we find Brian Badko, Steelers insider at the Post-Gazette. All right, Brian, how realistic do you think it is the Steelers would trade for Jakobi Meyers?
I don't know, Pony. I mean, I think one interesting factor there is we know how much Aaron Rodgers needs to be on the same page as his receivers. And, you know, there'd be limited amount of time to get him integrated into the offense with all the hand signals and the chest taps and the head taps and all that. So I don't think they'd want to give up too much in draft capital. They could have done that by now, but I guess we'll see. And the Raiders should probably want a receiver back because that depth chart is looking pretty rough.
What do you think's the most they'd want to give up in terms of picks?
Jeez, I mean, you're going to need a lot of ammunition if you want to keep that flexibility to move up for a quarterback if you have the same old 10-7 type of season. I don't know, maybe a fourth or fifth, day three, that kind of thing.
And that, even as much as Mark Davis gives you the vibes that he could do any trade at any time, feels like it wouldn't be enough. To what degree do you buy the idea that the Steelers are somewhat comfortable with their wide receiver room, more comfortable than people are on the outside looking in at them, Brian?
I think that's what I said in my chat today, Chris.
I didn't read it. I'm sorry. I usually read it because Austin Bechtold and Harry Callis submit a lot of good questions to you that you dutifully answer, but I'm sorry that I missed it today.
And sometimes Johnny Sins.
But, sometimes, yes. Yes.
Who was a kid's favorite actor at the Little League World Series?
We don't know if it's photoshopped or not, but there was a kid at the Little League World Series that claimed that was his favorite actor.
That's the whole reason I thought of it, because I saw Donnie quote tweet that today.
Just unbelievable.
Yeah, he occasionally works his way into those chats, but that's pretty much exactly what I said. I think whether they're bluffing on that or not, on the actual talent and production expected from their receiving core, or if it's a factor of that a little bit, plus they want to run the ball, plus all the tight ends that they have, and there's only so many receiver targets to go around. I don't think they're prioritizing the de facto wide receiver two as much as you would in most NFL offenses, put it that way.
Let me ask you about, speaking of that, Jonnu Smith. Last night I had someone tell me the thing that not enough people are talking about is this guy hasn't practiced, barely. We don't know how healthy he is. He got held out of the preseason games. Maybe a little bit of that is being deferential to a veteran. But to your earlier point, if he's going to be a big part of the passing game, which we think he will be, he wants to get on the same page with Aaron Rodgers because of all the stuff Aaron Rodgers values as a quarterback. So do you agree with that, that this is something that's lingering here with Jonnu Smith, that he's not 100%, Brian?
Yeah, I think lingering is probably a good word for it. But I remember back on the first day of training camp, he wasn't in uniform, and I'd heard some rumblings then that it was a knee thing. So maybe they're just being safe with that. He was out there today, at least in the individual portions of which we can take photo and video in the media. So I can say that. So he's back in uniform. That's good. He was going through the line where they try to jar the ball out with a stick. So they're not that worried about his knee. But yeah, I mean, this is an onboarding process now for him to build all those little nuances into his game with Rodgers, because he did miss practice time.
Brian, here's a random one. What do you think is the possibility, since kicker is so important and Ben Sauls was so good, that some incredibly desperate fringe contender would perhaps trade a very late seventh round pick for this incredible left-footed product out of Pitt to be their kicker?
I got to think low, because we always have that sort of proximity bias, right? Like, he must be the best backup kicker. Mason Rudolph must be the best backup quarterback. Corliss Waitman must be the best backup punter. Like, that one might actually be legit with the Steelers punting situation. But the other guys, I think there's a lot of quarterbacks on depth charts who are better than number two, or better than number three, or in Pittsburgh's case, better than number four. Same probably goes for Sauls, although I did see Tom Pelissero just reported the Steelers informed Sauls they're going to waive him if they can't trade him, which I don't think that's exactly a Tom bomb there. He wasn't going to beat out Chris Boswell, but anyway, that's been floated into the NFL news breaking ecosystem recently.
Let's make some bets to make the team final roster, brought to you by Bet Parks. Bet on sports and play all your favorite casino games for real money on the Bet Parks online casino and sportsbook app. Brian, what's going to happen with the third string quarterback spot?
Even though Tomlin said today that Will Howard could be nearing full participation, I'm going to say they do use one of those two designated to return IR spots on him, put him on the shelf for at least 4 weeks, and then that way you have a little bit more runway to figure out what's going on with Rudolph, Skylar Thompson, and keeping them all in the mix.
Here's a random question just about that short-term IR. You only have 8 of those in a given year to utilize, Brian. Have you ever gone back and looked at how close, if at all, they've ever been close to using all 8, where they might not want to do that here because they might have 7 other short-term injuries like that?
I remember getting close, I feel like, last season. At the end of the year, they kind of like dump out the bag of toys that are still in there who might have a chance, but last year, they used those short-term slots on relatively insignificant players like Dylan Cook and Jeremiah Moon, who, you know, you take it or leave it. If Cook ends up being your swing tackle or Moon gets in the mix, Moon did, but that'd be interesting to go back and look. These roles are kind of ever changing, so they haven't had this structure in place for a while. But yeah, I mean, you have to be a little bit prudent with your use of those return slots for sure.
Is Beanie Bishop going to make the team?
That's an iffy one. I mean, I kind of forgot to ask around about him today because he's kind of a forgotten man in this secondary with bringing in Jalen Ramsey, and Brandon Echols too is the one that, you know, doesn't get mentioned as much. His versatility, it kind of puts guys like Corey Trice and Beanie Bishop behind the eight ball because he can do both. And I think Mike Tomlin has a lot more trust in him than either of those two guys on the outside or the slot. I'll still say yes on Beanie, but I just don't know what's going on with him not playing in that last preseason game. Didn't see him around today during that video shooting portion. So maybe he's a low-key IR candidate too.
Well, that was weird too, because Terrell Austin like made it a point to say, if you're a Beanie Bishop fan, watch this last preseason game. You're going to get a whole heaping helping of Beanie Bishop. And then he didn't play.
It wasn't even so much that, but it was more like, yeah, he needs to provide some splash. And like, that's a pretty narrow needle to thread there when you're like asking a corner to go out there and pick off a pass or force a fumble.
Right, exactly. They were setting the bar high, but also he was like the one dude in the secondary who did make some splashy plays last year. He's picking off Rodgers twice in a game. I thought that was just, I don't know, I thought the whole thing was strange.
Yeah, I think looking back, some of those were certainly circumstantial. And it's like, you know, a ball comes your way and you just happen to be that guy in that place, you better make the play. That's kind of like James Pierre's pick against Carolina. Like, pretty much lobbed right to a credit that he was able to haul it in. But sometimes I think we overrate defensive backs a little bit on option numbers. And that Dante Jackson led the team with 5 last year. I don't think anybody was clamoring for him to return.
Who wins the punter's job?
I've been saying Waitman sort of just to be a little bit different than the crowd. And I mean, for me personally, I just think the ability to completely flip that field and turn it over to your gunners, especially if you think you have two of the better ones around. And if it ends up being Pierre and Skoranek or Echols and Skoranek, then that's really useful to have somebody with that kind of leg and a lefty himself. But I can see it going either way. I'll just, for the sake of good radio, I'll put my weight behind Waitman.
Brian, any name players? So Bishop kind of qualifies, so somebody other than him. Oh, I'm hearing myself for a second. Anybody that's a big name player for the Steelers, like a guy people really do know, who you think might be a surprise cut?
I mean, some of the trendy, sleeper picks in recent years or draft picks that people liked and thought were steals, like a DeMarvin Leal or Corey Trice. I mean, I think they might be on thin ice. These injuries at edge rush line eventually help Leal, but you know the opposite is true for Trice. I mean, he can just never stay healthy, never get on the field. Eventually, those things just add up for a front office and a coaching staff, and just becomes, we really can't count on you. So hopefully you get healthy, but you've kind of the time's run out on you here.
What is Brian Batko's 2025 official Steelers record prediction?
I'm going 10-7. I just can't really move off of that until I see otherwise, to the good or to the bad, because it's funny. I feel like sometimes you say that to Steelers fans here. This happened at basketball the other day, Pony. I mentioned that to someone. They asked me the same question. I said 10-7, and someone's like, wow, that's so pessimistic of you. But I had someone who, a national NFL writer, text me and asked me for a prediction. I said 10-7. He said, that's so optimistic of you. So that's the Steelers for you, and I feel like they tend to just settle in the usual middle until I see otherwise.
Do they make the playoffs?
Oh, that's where it's tough. You're going to factor in the other teams. I'll say yes. I'm optimistic enough from what I've seen to say they sneak in there, but not enough to start leapfrogging them over these other teams who I think are just much more built for success right now.
Do they win a playoff
barring
game?
Injuries. No. No, I don't think so.
Well, the good thing is we haven't seen them do that recently in any years, losing the wild card.
That is not a good thing, though, Chris.
I was being sarcastic. We see them do that almost every year.
Thank you, Brian. We'll talk again soon.
Bye, Brian.
All right. See you guys.
All right.
For the people asking in the YouTube comments, I do not believe Brian was wearing a Cracker Barrel hat. I believe that is some sort of tiger. on his hat.
And also the lighting on his video for our YouTube viewers, he looked like he was suffering from Max Scherzer disease. Where he had one brown eye and one blue eye, but I know he doesn't have that.
Really?
Do you know anyone else who has that?
Don't like persons? No. I thought like every husky had that, the dogs.
What?
I thought every like one of those huskies that you get has one brown and one blue eye.
I've looked at the Yukon Husky logo.
It's a dog, a husky logo.
If they want it to be an accurate logo, it should have two different colored eyes. What are you talking about? If every husky suffers from that.
Do all huskies have different colored eyes? No, they don't. Okay.
Way to go, Chris. Football Talk on the Fan is brought to you by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Perfect segue into the Donnie football debrief. Donnie's biggest football story of the day brought to you by Saloni's Italian Bread Company. Over 100 years of baking experience. I don't know if you saw this, Donnie, but the 450-pound Tampa Bay Bucks defensive lineman was released today.
Dude,
why?
I saw it.
For not losing enough weight.
6'5", 450, brother.
Desmond Watson.
Yep.
Mr. Desmond Watson to you.
I mean, we could talk about that for a little bit.
That is a
giant
man.
That's a large human being. Donnie, would you like to start us formally, though?
Sure. Well, but I do, sorry.
Was he the guy from Florida?
Yes.
God, I loved his highlights. He would move like 1 foot in one direction, just fall on a guy like he was Yokozuna.
But that's what I mean. Like, if you know it's like a tush-push play. Why wouldn't you want a big load like that in the game, man?
Now, would you want, I was going to say, why wouldn't you want to put him on your team and let him execute the tush-push offensively? Who's stopping that guy's forward momentum?
Wait, so he takes the snap and just falls forward?
I mean, you'd have to get two very strong people to push him and your center might die.
What if he became like the official tush-push stopper in every team that played the Eagles?
Just
picked him up the week before the game.
They just kept claiming him on waivers. He immediately played for all 31 teams within 3 years.
You'd put him in on offense. He could do that jump pass that Don Terry Poe tried a couple times. Executed a time or two.
Yeah, he did.
If the guy doesn't latch on as a pro football player, doesn't he have to try to go into wrestling?
Absolutely.
I mean, he could be king of the ring. If Mabel could do it.
How about, I thought you meant sumo wrestling.
Although, it's not how it was in the 90s.
You don't have any big boys like that. You don't have any hosses like
they,
anymore.
They do
in the 90s, he'd have main evented WrestleMania.
Oh,
Hulk would have slammed him once and leg dropped him, and they'd have drawn, you know, 85,000.
Yeah, I mean, they want guys who are more athletic, like wrestling-wise.
But I think but that's like in the NFL. It's become a passing league. I think we need to get back to the big hoss era. If the guy can move a little bit, just be, oh, you got your little athletic wrestlers doing Hurricane Rana.
The guys that are just horrible wrestlers.
I'm just going to clothesline you and drop a 450-pound elbow on you. How do you like that?
Mabel.
That's what I mean. He was king of the ring. Anyway, this is supposed to be about football, Don. Sorry.
The debrief, August 25, 2025. And how about this? It falls right into my lap. We do have some breaking news, and the punter battle has been decided.
Really?
The Steelers have released Cameron Johnston.
Oh, wow! Way to go, Batco!
Two in a row for Brian Batco.
I have a take on this. I almost tweeted it out, but I like stopped myself short, and now I regret it. If you go back and look at the picture the Steelers tweeted out Thursday night in Carolina of all the special teams guys together, it's Sauls, Johnston, Waitman, and I think the long snapper for that game might be in the picture too.
Mm-hmm.
And Boswell. It's not the long snapper. It's Boswell, Sauls, Waitman, and Johnston. And they're holding up Sauls because he's the rookie. Just the expression and look on Johnston's face compared to the other three guys looked to me like a guy who knew that he was not going to make the team.
Question. Do we think Waitman made it because of his holding prowess?
No, I think he made it because he was dependable last year.
But, I mean, Boswell is the more important of the two players, kicker and punter.
Right.
Yes.
And Waitman was his holder. And I feel like I remember...
The guy was 41 of 44.
Well, Harbin kept the job longer than he should have because they talked about what an immaculate holder he was.
That's kind of what I was citing, was Harbin had the job and Tomlin like went out of his way to say, like, oh, yeah, he's a great holder. What's to say Boswell didn't get Waitman in there, say, I am comfortable. This guy's got good hands on the snaps. He puts it down. Like, I don't know. Kickers are weird. He puts it down in a way that I like. I want to kick.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, whatever he was doing when it came to holding the ball was good.
And I think because of Johnston.
But I just think that that could actually, like, split the, you know, split the difference
I think
there.
Because of Johnston's age, he's not susceptible to waivers. So if he gets cut, he becomes an instant free agent. So if they don't trade him before 1 o'clock on Tuesday, he's free to sign with any team. Did the report say he got cut? He's released? Or did it just say that they picked Waitman to be the punter?
Rap Sheet said they released.
Okay,
Cameron,
so he's done.
Johnston.
Andrew on our YouTube comments says, buy Bill Burr.
He does look like Bill Burr.
He looks a lot like Bill Burr. Does he look more like Bill Burr than Jack looks like Bubba Chandler?
Yes. Yeah, he looks a lot like Bill Burr. And I know that joke's been made like a million times.
How about that room, though? It was an Australian versus a guy from Belgium to see who would be the Steelers' punter. I think they made the right call.
Really?
Waitman's cheaper and better.
I'm not sure he's better.
Cheaper, he's younger, and I think he might be better.
I mean, track record-wise, I think Johnston, I know Johnston's obviously got him, but
he's in his 30s and he's coming off a significant injury, Chris.
God, I cannot get over how much he looks like Bill Burr. It's very funny. But I just can't get past the whole idea that him holding a certain way might have kind of made this decision. Also, you think Waitman, if he's Belgian, you think he eats mayo with fries like they do over there? That's a whole like scene in Pulp Fiction right there. Europeans, it's just plain mayo with fries. That's what they do. You aware of this, Don?
No.
Yeah. Not like your Chipotle mayo. They just eat mayo and fries. It's like their ketchup.
So you think Waitman has gone around to like diners and stuff in Pittsburgh and asked for mayonnaise with his fries? That's your big take on this?
No, it's not a big take. I think that
we're only 2 minutes into this conversation. You're already bringing up the fact that the guy might eat mayonnaise with fries and you don't even love ketchup that much. You're like the last guy to criticize him for it.
Oh, no, I wouldn't criticize him. I've had like flavored mayos with fries. It's terrific.
Donnie, do you agree with this move?
I have Johnston for the record just because I think I have a weird feeling he's going to end up punting really well for somebody else this year.
I really think they could have gone either way because I think they are so close down to the wire actual punting ability to me. And I do think that the holding factor could absolutely be like the tiebreaker. If Boswell has gone to Tomlin or any of the coaches and given his blessing to Corliss Waitman and his holding abilities, that's what keeps him around. Not to mention, Waitman probably should have been the punter for this team now for like 4 or 5 years.
I'm sorry, it was just brought to my attention. You want to talk about the man taking the biggest L in the world on this one. Mark Cabali, August 22nd, 2025. Punting news, says Andrew Filippone. Mark Cabali says the job belongs to Cam Johnston. Quote, they've had their minds made up since day one.
Jack, he said that to us on Friday. You were sitting right
August
there.
August 22nd.
He said that to us.
Sent to me.
Yeah, he did.
Sent to me by an anonymous listener who said, another big L for Cabali.
Wait a minute. This person thinks Cabali's been taking L's left and right. What are some other notable L's for him?
Just,
falling asleep during Tomlin's press conference?
I think he's turned that into a career W.
Yes, I think that that's actually a win.
If you can get past the fact that they are just having you're having fun at your expense, I think it's a win. But
I also,
it's just that somebody wanted to reach out to make sure that it was read into the record that Cabali took another, quote, big L by getting the punter competition wrong. It is tough when you say, quote, they've had their minds made up since day one.
Yeah, he did. He said
that's what he said.
He said it wasn't even a competition, really.
Yes, dude, that is a big L.
I mean, that doesn't make sense to me.
That's the definition of a big L.
Yeah.
Why would he say they've had their minds up since day one, but they kept the other guy on the roster
because
for the duration of camp just thinking they would trade him?
I would say, in fairness to Mark, Tomlin has produced or made it seem like there have been competitions for starting spots before, and there really haven't been.
But punter, though?
Yeah.
I mean, quarterback is one thing. Wide receiver is another thing.
You say that, though, Donnie, but I mean, if somebody had put a gun to your head an hour ago and said, who will be the Steelers' starting punter in 2025, who would you have said?
I would have said Johnston, but I wouldn't have had the...
It's a done deal.
The thought of like, oh, this was never even a competition, huh?
This is fait accompli.
I think you're just ready to go after Mark here because he's been so hard on your takes lately.
Come on, Donnie. Live a little here. Get after
him.
That's
fair. I mean, if he wants to rip you, I mean, turnaround is fair play.
I mean, then technically he's 0 for 2 with the special teamers because he acted as if Ben Sauls was just no drop off to the best kicker in football and the best kicker in team history. Yes, best kicker in team history by a wide margin.
I was thinking about Gary Anderson in my childhood.
Gary Anderson was a team MVP, but yeah.
No, Boswell should have been last year. In the year 2024.
I think Boswell could have been team MVP like 2 or 3 different times.
Anderson was good. I'm not saying he wasn't.
No, no problem with that.
I didn't want to have to do this, but now I'm trying to add up the math on how their punting ever just looked in the preseason between these guys. Johnston punted 5 times for 221 yards. That means his average would be 44.2.
I think Waitman had him beat, but I don't know like
how many inside the 20.
Right. We also don't know like where on the field every punt took place.
Yep. Johnston, 3 punts inside the 20. And gone.
And what
punts
was Waitman?
One time last year, gets injured, and that's it for a Steelers career.
Here's a groaner from Nate on Twitter. Hey, Cam, if you were looking forward to punting in a couple weeks, you're going to have to wait, man. That's tough.
I'm a little bit surprised that they weren't able to fetch like a 6th or 7th round pick for Johnston. His medical must not be good, and the people that actually crunch punting for a living, like the special teams coaches around the league, must have looked at the way he punted the preseason and not have been impressed.
Led the league in punts and in punting yardage in 2021. I mean, damn, dude, he's hitting them 47.3 career average. I know. I mean,
my thinking with him winning the competition would have just been that we did not see the guy at all last year beyond one punt.
And Waitman did well last year and like didn't have any noticeable gaffes in the preseason.
Waitman was essentially a league average punter by net yards last year.
Which exactly seemed like he was great because we were used to watching Presley Harvin.
Yeah.
But remember, they also liked to throw around Waitman when they did have Harvin. I mean, I don't want this to come off the wrong way. They stood behind Harvin, did something very nice to him when he had a family tragedy.
Sure.
Waitman should have been the punter the whole way through.
Of course.
All know that. Let's just be realistic.
They used a draft pick on Harvin, and he was great in college, so they thought eventually they were going to see that guy, and they really never did.
Like, Waitman should have been the punter this whole time.
I'm going to say it again. He's younger and cheaper. And it's not an open shut case.
That probably is like what it,
if he's
I think
worse.
That and I think probably the holding in the comfort. I would not be shocked if they like quietly go to Boswell, who still wants more money and whatever. But hey, Chris, like who's better at holding or how comfortable are you with Waitman as a holder? And if he says, I'm really comfortable, he does a great job. I honestly think that could have pressed the thumb on the scale.